So the last couple of days I've been looking at the book of Genesis, chapter 24 specifically. One of the longer chapters you're going to find in the book of Genesis. In fact, I think it's actually the longest chapter in Genesis. It's 67 verses long. And the entirety of that chapter is the story of Isaac finding a wife. And his father Abraham, concerned for Isaac, wants to get a wife for Isaac. But again, they've left their homeland. They're living amongst the Canaanites. And Abraham doesn't want his son marrying a Canaanite. And so he gets his trusted servant. And as we look at this again in Genesis chapter 24, it says, "And Abraham said to the eldest servant of his house, Eliezer of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, 'I beg of you, put your hand under my thigh.'" And then he gave him the instructions on going back to the land of his fathers, going back to where his family was, and finding a wife for Isaac. And so this story is the servant going and finding that wife for Isaac and bringing her back. But the key thing that as I read through this just over the weekend, one of the key things that just really struck me about this was the fact that this is truly a model for us, because this is a man, this is the servant of Abraham, and it's the most trusted servant. Truly, we just saw from that verse we read that he is trusted in every area. All that Abraham has, all that he has, he entrusts to this servant. So this is a servant who's earned, he's shown he's dependable and trustworthy, and he's earned the right and the trust to care for and to oversee all things that his master has. It's a great illustration as we read through Genesis chapter 24 for us to view ourselves as those who are servants of the Lord. And servants not in the way that we would think of servants as being somehow in bondage or somehow losing their freedoms. Quite the contrary. When we give ourselves and make ourselves servants of Jesus Christ, knowing that our lives have been bought and paid for with a price, they're not our own, they belong to Jesus Christ. But in that knowledge and in that revelation comes a freedom and a liberty in Jesus Christ that is beyond anything else. It doesn't make any sense that you would submit yourself or you'd make yourself a servant to be free, but this is the truth and this is the reality, the spiritual reality, because the things of God are always contrary to the logic of mankind. So the greatest liberty and freedom we find, is by becoming those servants. And this whole chapter is showing us the example through this servant of Abraham on how we should have the attitudes and the actions that we should be demonstrating, that we should be applying to our lives. Now, we looked at a number of the things, and again, I just kind of read through this on Sunday night. I kind of read through this just one time. And just one time through, cursory look through it, I found 17 different things. I'm sure if we took some more time, we'd find more. But we're going through those 17 things, and I'm sure there's more. But I found 17 things that are, hey, that's a good reminder for me in my role as a servant to God. If I want to be one that just like this servant, Abraham entrusted everything in his household to him. I want God to be able to entrust everything to me. And here's the thing. God wants to entrust everything to me. God wants to entrust everything that he has to you. He wants you to be. Let's go back and look at that verse again. As this servant was, he wants you to be the one who rules over all that he has. He wants you to have, to be able to be entrusted with everything that he has. This is why it's said that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is why it's said that we sit in those heavenly spheres, those heavenly places with Jesus. Jesus wants you, and he wants you to be able to operate. To operate in all, to be entrusted with everything that he has. And it's this servant that shows us the example. So we looked at a number of things yesterday and Monday. One, he was dependable and trustworthy. He also was seeking God for wisdom, seeking the Lord for guidance as he went about his assignment. He also had priorities that were not his priorities, but he took God's priorities and made them his own priorities. He doesn't speak, we saw this yesterday, and this is where we left off. He doesn't speak his name, but he's always Abraham's servant. We saw that in verses 34, 36, and 37. He always refers to himself as Abraham's servant. We live in a culture where we're very focused on ourselves, and everything is about us, and our identity is in ourselves. My identity should be first and foremost in Jesus Christ, and that's what we see in the servant. And that's part of the attitude of that servant, that model of being a servant, that the Lord can entrust everything to. So as we go on, the next thing I want to look at was he talks to the master, and not himself. You know, again, this along that same line, that same concept, we do tend to think our conversations are about ourselves. You know, one of the things that internally here at Yes FM, we always talk about is it's not about you. And so as we're relating to you on the radio, when you listen to the DJs, we're always reminded it's not about you. In other words, as a listener, you don't really care about, you know, you might care about me, but you don't want to know what's, it doesn't really matter to you what's going on in my daily happenings. The small little things that are important to me, not so significant to you. So we always want to be sharing things that are relevant. We always want to be sharing things that are relevant to you and that focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the way that our culture works. Our culture is you do everything about yourself. You know, I'm off the top of my head, I forget what it's called, but I didn't know this. I think it's, there's some phrase. Tommy, what's the phrase that they have for when you take a picture?
A selfie.
A selfie, yes. Okay,
the president took at the Mandela funeral.
Yes. So there's always, I never knew what selfies were. I never heard of that until like about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But again, this is the whole mindset that we have. It's all focused on self. So now the big thing is selfies, taking pictures of yourself with your cell phone and either posting them or just keeping pictures of yourself. Here's the amazing thing. You know, growing up, I never carried a picture of myself with me. There was no point to it. And it seems kind of funny to me when I think about it, but this is what we do. We have our cameras and our pictures are of ourselves. And I'm not criticizing you if that's what you do. But I'm saying it's the mindset of our culture where it's all about self. And even in our cell phones, the cameras in our cell phones, you know, we take selfies. That's kind of the epitome of what we're talking about. Everything is about ourselves. Well, this man who was the servant of Abraham, it wasn't about him. It was about his master. In verse number 35, it says, "And the Lord," this is him talking, "and the Lord has blessed my master mightily, and he has become great. And he's given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, manservants, maidservants, camels, and donkeys." So he's talking about all the things that the Lord has given to his master. His focus is on his master. You know, in our culture, the way we've been taught, if that's us, that's standing there talking, we're going to be talking about ourselves. Well, you know, the master has trusted me. Had this been most of us, we'd have been saying to the individuals that the servant was talking to, "Well, you know, my master, he's entrusted everything to me. Everything in his house, he's pretty much entrusted it to me. I've come here with this assignment, and this is the assignment I have to complete." We'd be talking about ourselves. The one who is the model servant, serving the master, and being entrusted with everything, is the one who's not talking about himself. Because the priority is not about himself. The priority is about the Lord. He spends his time talking about the master. You and I should be spending our time. Think about yesterday. This is going to be hard. Even I asked the question, I didn't think of it till now, but as I asked the question and apply the question to myself, it's kind of embarrassing. But yesterday, how many times during the day was my conversation focused on myself? When I was talking to people, how many times did it come back to me or I or examples of things in my life or stories about my life? And it's not bad to share those things, but when I compare it, how much was about me and how much was about my master? How much was about the Lord? How much was about Jesus Christ? Probably it's embarrassing how lopsided those totals would be. Ask yourself the same question. We want to be servants of Jesus Christ, and we want him to entrust all things to us. We want to be entrusted with everything. If you've said, "Well, I just haven't seen really God moving and flowing through me," he'll move and flow through you. You've got to be willing, but you've also got to be turning yourself over to him. You've got to be, I have to be obedient to him. I have to be focused on him. I have to be a steward and not one who is first and foremost caring about myself. The one who is entrusted with everything the master had. I want to be entrusted with all the things the master has. I want to be entrusted with more in the area of finances. I want to be entrusted with more in the area of ministry. I want to be entrusted with more. I want to be entrusted with more power. And I want to be entrusted with more in everything that he has. I've got to be a servant and have a servant's heart. And these are the examples that we see from the servant. He talks about the master, not about himself. Another attribute or quality from the servant, the one who is serving the master and is entrusted with everything, he gives God the glory. Okay, we just saw that in verse number 35, but we also see it in verse number 48. Again, he's talking to the family of Rebekah, the one who is going to be the wife that he's going to take back for Isaac, the son of Abraham. In verse number 48, he says, "And I bowed down my head, and I worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord. And the God of my master Abraham, who led me to the right way to take my master's brother's daughter to his son." What he's saying is, hey, when I came here, this is the assignment. I knew that I was sent by my master. I was sent by my master to find a wife for my master's son. So I came to this land that I'm not familiar with, and I had no plan. And so I just gave it all to the Lord. This is what he said. "I bowed my head, and I worshiped the Lord, and I blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who led me in the right way." And it's because he bowed his head and blessed. If you go back and look at the story, as soon as he bowed his head and worshiped God and asked God and looked for God for direction, as he was done praying, he didn't know. Picture this. He's walking into a land he's not familiar with. He doesn't know who these people are. He's got to find the wife. He knows no one. He has no contacts. He's got to find the wife for his master's son. He has no idea how to do that, but the master's entrusted him to do it. So he's gone. He's taken the steps. He's been faithful. Now he gets to his destination. Now he's got to find the wife. Who is it, God? I have no idea how to do this. So he bows his head. He prays. And as he's praying, as soon as he's done praying, Rebekah, the woman who's going to be the wife of his master's son, Isaac, comes up to the well, comes up right before him. And God gave him he laid out for God how he would know, and God answered that directly. But the fact that he prayed and he worshiped God and he prayed, and as soon as he was done praying, boom, there was his answer. He gives glory to God. So that's what happened, and that's what he's relating here to the family. He said, look, this is how I found Rebekah. This is how it all worked out. I bowed my head and I worshiped the Lord. I prayed, and immediately the Lord showed me the right way. The example of being the servant to the master that the master can entrust everything with, the example is that individual gives glory to God. I need to give glory to God every day. And you might say to yourself, well, I really haven't seen that many things. There was really nothing yesterday I could give God glory for. You know what? You don't have to see the things. If I look, I will find them. Some days it's clearly evident. Other days it's not so evident. But if I look, I can find those things. And even if I can't find them, it doesn't change the fact that in faith I know that he is doing things for my good and for my benefit, and they're already done and established whether I see them or not. And so I can give glory to God every day despite the situation that I might be in. The one who is the model servant. The one who is the model servant who the Lord entrusted everything to, his master entrusted everything to, is the one who gives glory to God. Here's the next thing. He finds joy in faithfulness and godly results. He's praising God. All right, we just saw verse number 48. That's an example. Let's go ahead a little bit. Verse number 52. "And when Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord." This is a person who is faithful. This is a person who takes joy in godly results. This is a person who praises God. Let's go back to verse number 26. "The man bowed his head down and worshiped the Lord." This is a man that is filled with praise and filled with worship. This is a man who takes joy in finding godly results. Do you take joy in that? So many times we get the results of God in our lives, and we don't ever take the time to even show our appreciation, let alone find the joy in it. Sometimes we acknowledge, but we find no joy in it. Okay, thank you, God. And we go on to our next problem, our focus on the next problem, on the next issue, rather than just operating in the joy and being filled with the joy of the fact that Jesus Christ was faithful to meet your need. One of the qualities of the servant who the master can entrust everything into is one who finds joy in faithfulness to God and in godly results. Here's another example. Let's go all the way back to verse number 2, the first verse we looked at. It says, "And Abraham said to the eldest servant of the house of his house, Eleazar of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, I beg of you, put your hand under my thigh." And verse number 3 says, "And you shall swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I've settled." And that's as he's getting him ready to send him to the land of his fathers to find a wife. Faithfulness was rewarded with stewardship overall. This is one of the qualities. This is one of the attributes. This is one of the results that we see because of his faithfulness, because this servant was faithful to do. Obviously, the fact that Abraham could entrust him with this means that this servant has demonstrated time and time again over the years he's faithful. He's faithful. He can be trusted. Because of his faithfulness, he was rewarded with stewardship over everything. He had stewardship over everything in the house because he was faithful. If we're faithful in the things that God has given us, if we're faithful to him, he will make us stewards over more. If you're wanting to be a steward over more, if you want to see more in your life entrusted to you by God, faithfulness is what results in stewardship over more. He also trusts in the Lord when he goes in obedience, and that's something we'll look at for tomorrow. Again, if you have time today, I realize it's 67 verses. It sounds like a lot, but it's a great story, and you'll roll through those 67 verses pretty quickly. But read Genesis chapter 24. We'll continue looking at this again tomorrow, but read Genesis chapter 24 and see those characteristics, those attributes, and the results that come to the steward. To the one who is a steward, to the one who is a servant to his master. Because the one who follows the examples of this servant finds that he has everything the master has entrusted to him. That's what you and I want and desire. Do you want more? Do you want the master? Do you want the Lord to trust you with more? Follow the examples. And you'll see more yourself. When you read this yourself, Genesis chapter 24, you'll see more than the things I'm pointing out because the Holy Spirit will show you even more things. But it will show us how to be that servant because at the end of the day, this is the key. God wants to entrust more to you, and he's showing us how we can position ourselves and develop the attributes and characteristics so that God can entrust us with more of all that he has.